New Medicaid work requirements, which were included in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, are scheduled to take effect in January 2027. For some people, the health consequences of losing Medicaid coverage could be severe. I'm Stephen Morrissey, managing editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, and I'm talking with John Ayanian, director of the Institute for Healthcare Policy and Innovation at the University of Michigan. Dr. Ayanian has written a perspective article about learning from experience with work requirements and protecting the most vulnerable Medicaid enrollees. Dr. Ayanian, which Medicaid enrollees will be affected by these new work requirements?
These are the Medicaid enrollees in the 40 states and the District of Columbia that expanded Medicaid to adults aged 19 to 64 under the Affordable Care Act. So over 20 million adults in that age group who have now been covered under what we call the Medicaid expansion. And Congress, in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act signed by President Trump on July 4th, has required those states now to mandate that those non-elderly adults covered under the Medicaid expansion who either newly enroll in Medicaid or are currently enrolled in Medicaid certify that they are working or volunteering at least 80 hours a month in order to enroll in Medicaid if they're newly applying or to maintain their Medicaid eligibility and to demonstrate that work requirement or what's called community engagement if they're volunteering at least every 6 months.
From a policy perspective, what was the goal of enacting these work requirements?
Well, the proponents of the new requirements in Congress believe that in return for Medicaid coverage, that those who are physically able to work or to volunteer should be working as a condition of their Medicaid coverage. And that was the motivation for putting that requirement into the Federal Budget Reconciliation Act. In the past, individual states had gotten permission through what are called Medicaid waivers to do this at the individual state level. But going back to 2020, federal judges had decided that that was not consistent with the Medicaid laws at the time and had overturned those waivers that states had obtained. And so prior to this new Federal Budget Reconciliation Act, only Georgia had been allowed to require a work requirement in its Medicaid program. And that had turned out to have a very small effect. Only about 8,000 people had been enrolled in Medicaid under the Georgia work requirement.
And before the waivers were overturned, what was the experience in the other states?
The one state that had more experience with work requirements was Arkansas back in 2018, where about 18,000 Medicaid enrollees were disenrolled from the Arkansas Medicaid program because of the work requirements. And in that case, there was research, in fact, originally published in the New England Journal of Medicine, showing that many people lost their coverage even though they were working, but they either weren't fully informed about the work requirements or they had difficulty reporting that they were working. There were problems with the systems that were implemented to enable people to report their work, problems with internet access or submitting the paperwork required. And so there were significant problems there in Arkansas. And so many people lost coverage until that state's work requirement was overturned by a federal court decision.
The new law specifies a number of exemptions that Medicaid applicants and current enrollees can claim in order to be excluded from these work requirements. Who's going to be eligible to get an exemption?
There are a handful of exemptions written into the law. The first is that parents or guardians of children under age 14 or disabled persons can be exempted from the work requirements, veterans with a total disability. And then there's a fairly broad category of individuals on Medicaid who are identified as medically frail or having special medical needs, such as they're blind or disabled or have a substance use disorder or a disabling mental disorder or a physical, intellectual, or developmental disability that impairs their ability to perform activities of daily living or that they have a serious or complex medical condition. But how those types of medical frailties or special medical needs are defined remains to be determined. And in fact, the law requires the Secretary of Health and Human Services to provide those definitions and guidance to state Medicaid programs. And then presumably that guidance will be interpreted for practicing physicians who will be seeing Medicaid enrollees and helping them to determine and submit the documentation for whether they qualify for those clinical and medical exemptions. And then there are also exemptions for people participating in drug or alcohol use disorder treatment and rehabilitation programs, for those who are incarcerated, and then for individuals who are pregnant or in postpartum state.
What can states do to support people who could be at risk of losing their Medicaid coverage, especially people with chronic conditions?
This will be a very important part of how the law is implemented. Many states have access to employment records, for example, employers reporting on earnings or submitting unemployment insurance payments. So the states can determine whether Medicaid enrollees already are working from records that are submitted by employers and may be able to document their employment from existing records and ensure that they are meeting the work requirements in that way. From Medicaid claims data, they may be able to document that they have serious medical conditions or that they are participating in alcohol or drug rehabilitation programs that may meet some of the clinical exemptions that would allow them to continue their Medicaid coverage without meeting the work requirements. So those are some of the steps that state Medicaid programs can take to reduce some of the paperwork documentation burdens that Medicaid enrollees or their physicians and other treating clinicians may face otherwise. And states could help to reduce those burdens on the enrollees and their treating physicians.
And then what about healthcare organizations and advocates? How could they potentially help people maintain their coverage?
Healthcare organizations such as community health centers, medical groups, hospitals that run hospital outpatient departments will be continuing to treat Medicaid enrollees during this transition in late 2026 as the organizations prepare for these new work requirements to be implemented in January 2027. And so preparing their systems, informing patients about the work requirements, about the opportunities for medical exemptions or exemptions related to their family status, for example, for parents of children under age 14 or those caring for individuals in their household who are disabled. That will be an important step, much like organizations, healthcare organizations and healthcare systems already inform individuals, the patients they care for, about the benefits that they may be eligible for through public programs. And then also healthcare organizations, for example, academic health systems that have research programs focused on Medicaid enrollees can help to gather data on the health status of those enrollees over the next 12 to 18 months as these requirements begin to take effect and track the enrollment status and the health status and monitor what's happening to these enrollees so that we have good evidence as these requirements take effect on what's happening to the people affected and what's happening to the organizations caring for them. I think one of the concerns is as people lose their Medicaid coverage, for example, in community health centers, the Medicaid funds have been an important source of support for community health centers and all the services they provide for everyone in the communities they're serving. And so if they're caring for a much larger proportion of people who lose Medicaid coverage and become uninsured, it may be more difficult for them to care for others in their community with the loss of those Medicaid coverage funds.
So, final question. Just expand, if you would, on the question of research. You say in your article that the planned implementation of work requirements gives us an opportunity to obtain data to guide federal and state Medicaid policy. So what would that research look like and who would conduct it?
So I think it'd be important for researchers, what we call health services research, who study access to care, quality of care, health outcomes, to partner with funders, to partner with community-based organizations, and with Medicaid enrollees themselves to engage them in research to understand how they are experiencing the implementation of these work requirements, to engage them in surveys, in tracking what they are understanding about the work requirements, how it's being communicated to them, what support they're receiving from their state Medicaid programs, from community organizations, from the healthcare organizations where they receive care, to understand how they are responding and reporting their employment-related data, and then understand where they are receiving care, either as they continue in the Medicaid program or as they lose their Medicaid coverage, and what impact that is having on their use of healthcare services and on their healthcare outcomes. Many Medicaid enrollees we know have benefited from their Medicaid coverage in terms of the diagnosis and treatment of their acute and chronic conditions, the primary and specialty care that they need, and the medications that they take. And so tracking how they're able to continue their coverage and the services that they need, as well as what services they lose and what impact that has on their healthcare outcomes, will be critically important, because this will be an evolving field as Congress and state legislatures and state Medicaid programs assess whether this policy should be sustained or whether it should be modified going forward, as we grapple with the consequences of this evolving policy and the implementation of the Medicaid work requirements that Congress has enacted in July of 2025.
Thank you, Dr. Ayanian.